We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
You ever had a message? Well, you probably haven't. Ever in my life, there are messages that you look forward to doing. There are messages that you don't want to do. And then there are messages that just the pressure of doing is just pretty great. So this week, we're going to start a new series. I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time since my palms sweated before I posted something to Instagram. But as the media team brings the title of this week's message, this was actually what we posted on Instagram. But this week, we're going to talk about, for the next couple weeks, really, we're going to talk about the other F word. There are words that, when I grew up, there were words and then there were words. The world's changed a little bit, but some words would get me popped. You see, popping's not a popular thing anymore. But back in the 80s, when 70s and 80s, when I grew up, can I get a witness? We cut seatbelts out of cars. We spanked our children publicly. Y'all just got quiet. Anyway, so then there were words that would cause my mother's head to spin. Like the movie Poltergeist, you know what I'm talking about? It would just keep going round in circles. There are things in Christianity that Christ talked about a lot, but we really don't want to say that word. There are things that he spoke at great depth about that because it makes us uncomfortable, we don't want to hear it. Anybody's mama ever looked at you and just said this, "Stop it. I don't want to hear it." If this is you today, your time to leave was when I prayed. And you've missed it now. So you're stuck. So we're going to talk a little bit about unforgiveness. Now, I'll get into that in just a second. I want to talk to you about what I'm going to be speaking about over the next couple weeks. I'm not real sure how long this message will last, how long this series will run. There are a couple of different options that I have written out that my wife and I diagrammed and we looked at, and I don't know that I'll follow any of those plans. So there's a good chance that this will be at least a couple weeks series, at least 2 weeks. We'll see after that, but. In the next couple weeks, here are some of the things we're going to be looking at. We're going to start this week with some of these, but we're going to look at the cost of unforgiveness. We're going to look at what forgiveness is, and we're going to look at what forgiveness isn't. We're going to wrap up with how do I forgive? Because here's my problem with the church is a lot of times the church, being the whole body of Christ, people like myself, and I apologize for any time any pastor has ever done this in your life, is they'll tell you that you need to do something. But then they'll never tell you how to do it. That's the equivalent of going to auto shop class in high school, then bringing a car in and going, "This car won't run. Fix it." Okay. How? Fix it. How? I can't believe you haven't fixed it. How? So then you do what anybody trying to pass class does. You push the car back out and you tell them it was running when you left it. In church, what we do, in the body of Christ, what we do is sometimes when we don't know how to, we just cover it up and we act like it's fixed. Here's something I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to tell them. You won't figure it out in one message. Look at your other neighbor and say, you won't figure it out in one message. Oh, ye of little faith. Here's the thing. What a lot of people want to do, because I tried to do this, what I tried to do was when I first started crafting this message, what I wanted to do was craft this whole message so that you could get it all in one day. And then I figured this out. It would be the equivalent of me trying to get you to drink water from a fire hose. You cannot do it. The only thing I would do is drown you. So what I'm going to have to do is give you the truth of this a little incrementally so that you can, one, you can wrap your mind around it, but two, you can prayerfully wrap your heart around it. Because just the intake of information doesn't bring freedom. It's when it gets down in the heart of who you are and you begin to process it that you're really going to be able to implement it. It's like this. I talk about eating healthy all the time, but then a Big Mac gets in front of me and suddenly it's not a good idea. And as soon as I'm done eating the Big Mac, then guilt and condemnation come on. Am I the only one? And maybe your thing isn't a Big Mac. Maybe your thing is something else. Maybe your condemnation lies somewhere else. Here's what I believe. I believe that the enemy tries to place offense and unforgiveness in our life so that we carry the burden of offense rather than carrying the weight of our calling and our purpose. I think that one of the reasons that unforgiveness is such a powerful tool in the hearts of lives of Christians, of keeping them where the enemy wants them to be, is because if I'm carrying the weight of unforgiveness, both of my hands are full. How can I carry anointing and how can I carry calling? How can I carry the purpose of my life if I'm already carrying something else? So really, it's a great way to handcuff Christians into a life of mediocrity. I told my wife, you know, my greatest fear is not failure. My greatest fear is to live my whole life and be good and never achieve any greatness. To live my whole life in mediocrity. And here's the thing of the enemy. I think that the enemy will convince you that good is okay. That a little bit of unforgiveness, that a little bit of root of this thing in your life won't occupy both your hands. And I'm here to tell you that as long as you carry unforgiveness, you'll never carry your real anointing. You'll never carry your real purpose of life. To cover sin in the Old Testament, a sacrifice had to be made. Every sacrifice had a value. So you couldn't just sacrifice your sick lamb. You had to sacrifice your best lamb. Are you tracking? I believe this. I believe that forgiveness is the currency of heaven. I'm going to show it to you. Here's your cost of unforgiveness. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. I'm going to read this very quickly. I've got a lot of scripture to go through, and this is a little bit of content. But Matthew 18, 23 through 35, this is a parable that Jesus used. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle an account with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay it. And his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and all of his children and everything he had so that his payment would be made. And therefore he fell down saying to him, master, have patience with me, for I will pay you. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. Debt is currency. Now here's the thing, when I received Christ, I had a debt that I could not pay. There was no way for me to atone for the sin and the mistakes that I made in my past, that I made in my present, and that I will make in my future. I am in need of a Savior that will cover the mistakes that I have made, I am making, and that I will make. In a debt that I cannot afford to pay back. I could sell everything that I own and I still could not cover my own sinful nature. I can't atone for it. There's nothing that we tried to do it in the Old Testament through goats and lambs and rams and doves, and we killed everything coming and going. I mean, the Old Testament was a PETA's member's worst nightmare, right? Because we slaughtered everything on the face of this planet. If you're listening to this on social media and you're a PETA fan, I apologize. But anyway, that's what happened. They killed everything. They ripped it apart. It was bloody. And you know what the Old Testament showed us? There was nothing in our power that could redeem us. There was nothing that could forgive us of this massive debt that we owed. And not only is it something that would take you to hell, but it would cost your wife or your husband their salvation. It would cost your children their salvation. If Christ had not paid, your whole family, everybody that you love, would be absolutely and morally lost for all of eternity. So if this morning you've accepted Christ, then you have a debt that has been forgiven that there was no way that you could pay. If you have not yet made that decision, today we're going to give you an opportunity to make that decision because we are all debtors that Christ has forgiven. It's a currency. But Jesus paid it all. So watch what happens here. Verse 28, it says, but that servant, us, we, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 150 denarii. He owed him a little bit of money. Not much. Just some. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat. Kind of like him. saying, pay me what you owe. Currency. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience for me, what I will pay you. Currency. All that I owe. And he would not, and he went and threw him into prison that he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And his master called him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And Jesus says, so my heavenly Father will also do this to you if each of you from his own heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. It's not a moment of shouting the preacher down. That's a moment where you're like, wow. The cost of not forgiving is deep. Matter of fact, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he said this in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Jesus said, in this manner praying, and we all know what's about to happen. It's the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 12 of Matthew 6, 9 through 13, he said this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a currency to this. Jesus said this, here's the thing, I'm going to forgive you of this large amount. But the call and response back to your forgiveness is you are to forgive. Now, here's what's happening. If you're a person and you're walking in unforgiveness right now, there are so many red flags going off in your mind. You're going, but I'm going to go through what forgiveness isn't. Is this okay? Forgiveness is not letting the person you are forgiving off the hook. It's not. We should hold people accountable for their actions. But forgiving them is not letting them off the hook. It's just letting God be the jury. Because you want to know what sometimes, I'm going to what it is, and this is my challenge of trying to preach forward. Sometimes what we want to do is we want to play jury, not forgiver. We want to make sure that we forgive them, but they get what's coming to them. Now, can I put that in the mirror of our own life? What if God said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you, but I want to let you have what's coming to you. There's a cost. Forgiveness is not letting the offense reoccur again and again. We don't have to tolerate, nor should we keep ourselves open to a lack of respect or abuse. That is not what God is condoning here. If something repetitively happens, sometimes you've got to let go of it until it stops. Forgiveness does not mean that we have to revert to being the victim. Some people gain identity from being a victim. Let me tell you how bad they hurt me. Over and over and over again. Until I don't see myself being a victorious person that Christ created me to be. Do you see how this robs you? Because if I've got in my hand my unforgiveness, then I can never hold what I am supposed to be. I'll become the victim. I'll never become the victor. Forgiving is not saying what you did was okay, nor is playing the martyr and enjoying the performance forgiveness. I talked with somebody this week, and I forgive them for what they did, and they proceeded to give me a 35-minute dissertation on everything this person ever did to them. I forgive John for what he did, even though he cut me, and he lied about me, and he stole my wife and my dog, and hijacked my pickup truck. But I forgive him, the sorry dog. I forgive that rascal in Jesus' name. See how spiritual that sounds, but how there's no forgiveness in it? Watch this. This is the one that makes my palms sweat. One of them. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. We can forgive somebody and never choose to get along with them. I can forgive you and never choose to associate with you. Sometimes I can forgive you and let you go. Okay. That made my palms sweat because I didn't know if you would respond or leave. Okay. Forgiving does not mean denying reality or ignoring repeated offenses. It kind of sounds like another one I just said, doesn't it? Here's the difference. You can't ignore something and hope it gets better and call it forgiveness. That's called stupidity. We all do it though, right? You ever watch the best example of this? I was in Walmart this week. Thank you for praying. And I watched this kid running around acting like a heathen. I mean, it's like climbing on shelves and throwing stuff. And his mom was just blissfully ignorant. And I wanted to stop and go, excuse me, do you see that? I've got a way to fix it. I mean, I can help. I loan it to you. You can have it. I'll give it to you. It's free. $20. I'll buy a new one. That shouldn't continue. But in our children, in our marriages, in our employment, we allow abuse to happen. And what we call unforgiveness is really just pushing something aside and playing ignorant, rather than dealing with it, forgiving, and moving on. Some people are obnoxious, mean-spirited, apathetic, unreliable, and will never change. We need to change the way we respond to them and quit expecting anything different. We need to allow time for real repentance. Does that make sense? But there is a time when you've just got to figure out that that dog's going to keep biting you. You ever had a dog bite you and it did not mean to? Okay, I had a golden retriever that had no mean in him at all. There was a spirit of stupid on the dog. There was a spirit of love on the dog, but there was not a mean spirit. And if you ever have a golden, you actually understand what I just did. That's a real communication with a golden retriever. I got people here who own them. And one time I did it, and my golden got his eye tooth right in the outside of my hand. And both of us were wide-eyed as soon as it happened. And I snapped back, he snapped back, but he sat down. But I knew that that was probably never, and from then on, whenever we played, he would only let my hand get to the back corner of his mouth. He'd never let it get to the front. He'd start walking forward because he was afraid of biting me again. But then, there are friends of ours, dogs, that hates people. You could walk up with a treat, and it's more interested in attacking you and causing you to bleed than it is in receiving a gift. But you know what? They're the same people that are in our lives. There are people that sometimes hurt you that never had an intention on hurting you. They hurt you because they were hurt. They hurt. Does this make sense? So what we're saying is that forgiveness isn't repeatedly allowing yourself to be abused. That is not what I'm advocating, nor is God advocating. But what he is advocating is a spirit of forgiveness, of letting go of offense. You may have to let go of the person, but you have to let go of the offense too. Forgiveness is not based on others' actions, but rather our attitude. Well, if they'd stop, I wouldn't. I really want to get into what forgiveness is, but I'm only dealing with what forgiveness isn't. People will continue to hurt us through life. We can either look forward or we can stay stuck in our anger and unforgiveness. We can either keep our minds on loving God and knowing what is good or focus on how they hurt us. Here's the reality. I can't control you. I can't control them. Man, I had somebody really hurt me. I had somebody do something horribly and despicable to me. I may not be able to understand, but I can at least be in apathy with you. I can have a level of understanding. When I researched this, I found out that there was a young kid. He just got his driver's license. And he was killed, hit head on by a drunk driver, and was sentenced to death. Now I'm the parent of one son. These parents were also the parent of one son. Had I gone into that courtroom, can I just be honest and transparent for a minute, and they would have convicted the guy who killed my son to die, I would have applauded. I would have set count X and days off till they gassed him, juiced him, shot, whatever. I'm just being honest with you. And I would have eaten popcorn and watched. Oh, thank you for at least, I got one guy in here saying, I'm right there with you, brother. I just bring on the fiddle faddle. But here's the thing. I really, as I read their story, I really had to search my own heart, because I said, you know what, that would have been a heart of unforgiveness and vengeance. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine, not yours. Do you know what this parents did? And I'm not saying I've wrapped my mind totally around this, okay? Is this fair? But there is a level of forgiveness that the Lord wants us to operate on that I believe these parents did. The parents went and advocated with the courts and petitioned the courts, not only for him not to die. I thought that was gracious. But for him to be released. I'm not sure that I have that level of grace, but I see Jesus in that level of grace and forgiveness. When he was released, they asked him to come into their home and stay with them till he was on their feet. They have now adopted him to be their son. Their response is, the reason we had to forgive is, one, we know where our son is at because he was right with the Lord. And two, we lose nothing by losing two lives. You've already been hurt. Don't lose two lives over your offense. Does this make sense to you? I've been forgiven from so much. Like, if your real sin, not like the sin you tell people about, but the sin you try to hide. Because here's the thing, if you're proud of your sin, you didn't do it right. Because, like, if you're really, like, made real mistakes and you've really sinned, you're not proud of it. Because you've seen some of the cost, either in your life or in the life of other people. And I'm not proud of the stuff. My sin didn't make me cooler. It made me ashamed. Because the person I was then is not the person I am now and is not the person I want to be. And for that, I need the forgiveness that only God can give. But if I only receive that forgiveness and never give that level of forgiveness, I'm never really walking in who Christ called me to be. If they don't repent, we still have to forgive. Forgiveness is about our attitude, not their action. We have to forgive, because see, I'm okay to forgive you if you repent. Like if you come and are like you're crying and snot, I mean, like I want some deep pain in your repentance. But then I looked at that and I had this epiphany, I had this realization that what I was really looking for was judgment and correction and punishment in the person I'm forgiven. And when God speaks to forgiveness, and I know I'm touching a little bit on what it is, and I'm kind of breaking my own message cycle here, but what God is saying is this, is your forgiveness cannot be based on them. And I'll get to this. You have to let your forgiveness come from a choice you make, not from an emotion. I don't feel like forgiving them. Well, Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. Prove it. Garden of Gethsemane. You don't sweat blood because you're excited. Like you don't see me at Zach's in line going, boo, you know, I can't wait to, right? Jesus was like, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, not my will. When was the last time we prayed, not my will? God, I don't want to forgive them. But it's not what I want. It's not what I feel. Because my feelings are subject to me. You could have gotten agreement with that. You ain't prove it to you? You ever been out somewhere and your mama looked at you and said, don't show yourself? That's a Southern thing right there. And if you do and you're young enough, it's followed by a smack to the back of your head. I said don't. And you know what? You can be at work. How many times have you said this? I was at work. My boss made me so mad, but I just bit my tongue. It means you can control it. Doesn't mean you don't feel it, but you choose to have your actions take you in a different course. I can feel like I want to react and like I want to judge and like I want it right, but I'm choosing to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness, my friend, is a choice, not an emotion. We don't always have to tell them we forgive them. Self-righteously announcing our gracious forgiveness to someone that we've forgiven can be a form of manipulation and pride. You ever watch somebody like ceremoniously announce that they've forgiven somebody? Right? I mean, they're just like, look how holy I am. They did me so wrong. They did me dirty, but I am so spiritual. I'm so right. Sometimes I don't have to deal with you to forgive you. Sometimes I have to look at Lord, and say, Lord, if I do this, if I try to announce this, I'm going to get in the way. Or I'm going to start a fight. Because they're so far away from you in this area, at least, they don't even see their offense. So, Lord, in order to forgive them, I'm just going to have to do it before you and let you deal with them. You be God of their life, but you also be God of mine. We don't have to intersect those two bubbles, but right now I choose, not because I feel like it or because I want to, because what I want to do is go key their house, their car, and their dog. But instead, I choose to walk in forgiveness. Withholding forgiveness is a refusal to let go of perceived power. We can feel powerful when the offender is in need of forgiveness, and only we can give it. And sometimes we feel like if we forgive them, we give them power back over us. Here's the problem with that, is when you're holding something in your hand, you can't hold anything else. I deal with marriages all the time, and a lot of times unforgiveness is a seed. And here's the problem. I can't hold hands with you if my hands are already full of unforgiveness. I can't walk in a relationship with you if I'm holding on to something else. You ever tried to hold your wife's hands coming out of the grocery store? That's a hot mess. Because here's the thing. What happens is when you try to hold too much, you spill everything. You can't hold anointing and unforgiveness. You'll spill it all out. You can't hold the love of a spouse and unforgiveness at the same time. You'll wreck everything. The only way to move forward is to set something down. And understanding that the currency of heaven is forgiveness, that's an exchange rate. I exchange my sin for your forgiveness. And Jesus said, okay, now you need to take out of the stack of forgiveness I gave you, you need to take off the top and pass it out to the people around you. I didn't write this, okay, so you're going to have to be mad at Jesus. But Jesus said, and if you refuse to pass out that currency, I'll take it back. Because Jesus said, you'll be forgiven at the level you forgive. Well, you know, I forgave him, but I still bring it up every 5 minutes. That's not forgiveness. Because do you want God bringing your sin up every 5 minutes? Because what you did is just made him throw it in the sea of forgetfulness and bring it back. Throw it as far as the east is, but bring it back. Again, I'm not talking about doing it over and over again. Not allowing somebody to offend you over and over again. Let's be honest, God does allow us to do that. That's why his stack is this big, but he's only asking us to give away this much. Sometimes forgiveness is because we feel like God doesn't watch, God doesn't know what happened to us. Or he hasn't reacted quick enough. That's a different part of the message. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It's normal for memories to be triggered in the future. When these thoughts occur, it's what we do with them that counts. When was the last time you made this statement? Have you ever had something just trigger a thought of something that somebody... Now, I'm a plotter. See, I'm from the mountains of Virginia and Tennessee. I will plot on how to get even with you. Like if somebody cut... Now, this is a horrible thing to confess. The Lord just really revealed this in the last year or so to me. Like if you cut me off at the interstate, I'm like, man, if I was in my old truck, I'd have caught you in a back corner and I'd have spun you. And then when you got out of your car, I'd have beat you and then raised you in the name of Jesus just to beat you back. Right? That's a lot of work. Or this, if you ever, well, you know what, if that person at work does this, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? And you've played it like 15 years forward, right? Like, and then when they're an old lady and I'm going to take the screw off their wheelchair and then they go, and then I'll be like, oh, praise the Lord, right? What if when those feelings came in, what if we prayed this prayer? Thank you, God, that this reminder is here to show me how important it is to forgive. God, this memory that you let come back up and it's triggering all these emotions, God, I'm not going to focus on all those emotions, but I just want to thank you, first of all, for your forgiveness. Father, rather than letting this thing trigger me into a negative spiral, I'm going to have it spiral me up towards you. God, thank you for reminding me how important it is first of all, for your forgiveness, but God, also for me to forgive them. So, Father, right now, while my emotion tells me that I haven't forgiven, I know that my decision is that I have. I need 2 volunteers. Mickey, come up here for a second. And let me, I want some, I need, I'm trying to find a scrawny.
I can be that on my knees.
That's right. Yeah, come up here. Here's what I want you to do. Will you hold your hand straight out for me? Yep, take that. And hold it just like that. Yep, if you'll do the same thing, turn your back to me. Yep, if you'll just hold that right out there, just like that. So, yep. So here's the thing. I was listening to a secular song last week, and in the song they said it was a country song. It says something about holding a grudge. Now here's the funny thing. Hold that up a little bit higher. Here, no, arm straight out. So here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. What else can she hold? Nothing. Barely hold what she's got. But now let me ask you this. How many of you guys have come in with such an offense that you feel like you can barely hold on to it? See, we talk about forgiveness, but we only partially forgive. We don't forgive like Jesus. We forgive like we want to. You can sit down. You ain't gonna make it. Go ahead. Let me ask you a question. Now, the 10-pound feels heavy. If you hold that little one long enough, is it going to get heavy? See, what we want to do is we want to say this. Because I'm not holding a big offense, it doesn't affect me as much. Does that make sense? Well, I just hold a little unforgiveness, so really it's not that bad. But here's what's going to happen. Mickey's a strong guy. If you don't know what Mickey does, Mickey has worked in pipe and construction and all kinds of stuff. So he's not a bulky guy. But he's a strong guy. Will you come up here just for a second, please? And watch this. Can I have this one? No. Now, this is actually one of my wife's little walkie weights, right? Come around here for just a second. Will you just hold that right out in front of you? Let me ask you a question. Does that arm feel better?
It does now.
Why? See, here's the thing. Even when it's just a little bit, it hurts. My man goes to the gym all the time. This is, I say, 2 pounds, maybe? Pound, 2 pound. I promise you this is as strong as he is. You lift with weights hundreds of times stronger than that, more than this. If I leave him here and just ask him to hold this, over time, it will hurt. No, it's true. In the military, sometimes they want to punish guys. The only thing they do is just say, put your arm straight out till I get tired. But you know what? How much does the enemy do that to us? I just want you to pick up little of, oh, it's feeling good, isn't it? I'm going to go ahead and take that before I injure you. You can have a seat. So let me ask you a question. Here's the real question today. It's not going to do me any good to tell you what forgiveness isn't. Next week, I want to tell you what it is. And I want to tell you how to set it down. But here's the question. Are you willing over the next week to pray and put yourself in a position where you're willing to forgive not only the other person, but yourself? Because see, sometimes the unforgiveness isn't just about them. It's like this. I can't believe I did this thing 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 1 year ago, and I'm walking around carrying it and it's weighing me down because it's all the unforgiveness. I've asked the Lord to come into my heart, but I've been carrying it around and it's just so heavy, and I can't go do what everybody else does and what the Lord called me to do because I'm busy carrying this unforgiveness with myself or with somebody else, and I can't let go of it. I can preach the how-to, and I can preach what forgiveness is. But if you're not really open to the fact that you need to forgive, that it is the currency of heaven, God won't be able to do anything in your life. Does that make sense? Only you can decide the level you're willing to operate in forgiveness. Because what the world calls forgiveness is not forgiveness. It's vengeance. Real forgiveness is when you totally let go. Yeah, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Okay, well, good, you're not God. But what do you do when you remember? Do you use your pain to magnify the Lord or to spiral out of control? Do you use it to build a better marriage, a better relationship, be a better employee, appreciate a better boss, children? What, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it depends on where your offense comes from. Or when that emotion kicks in, do you use it to destroy yourself from the inside out? to affect not only your relationship with other people, but your relationship with God. There are two things, because if you understand that forgiveness is the currency of heaven, you understand that, first of all, we all have a need to be forgiven. With every eye open and every person looking around. Because I believe this, I believe that you're in a safe place. If you are a sinner saved by grace, in other words, you've asked Christ to come into your life and you realize that you've been forgiven of a whole truckload of sin. Stick your hand up real quick. Okay, you can put your hand down. If you were not able to raise your hand, if you say, you know what, I am not right with God. I need the forgiveness that only God can bring. You're in a safe place because we all not only needed it, but still need it. If that's you today and you go, you know what, Pastor, I really want to make sure that I'm right with the Lord. Will you just slip your hand up? Okay, then I'm going to assume everybody in here, one more chance. Anybody? I'm going to assume that everybody in here is right with the Lord. I'm going to ask that we pray corporately. But this week, I'm going to ask that you pray privately. Are you willing to not only receive forgiveness, but are you really willing to give forgiveness on a God level? Again, I'm not saying be abused. I'm not saying be a victim. Because some people, man, you've had some stuff done to you that is, I won't say unforgivable, but from a human standpoint, is beyond your ability to forgive. People have done you wrong. They've used, abused, thrown you away, treated. I understand all that. But are you ready to rise up from the ashes of unforgiveness to the beauty that God created you to be? It may mean you have to let people go out of your life. I understand that has to happen sometimes. But this isn't about them, because forgiveness is never about them. It's about you, and it's about God. Today, are you going to be in a place when you come in next week to not only know what forgiveness is, but to say, God, I now know what it is, and I'm willing to give forgiveness on a level that makes me vulnerable. I'm willing to give forgiveness on a level that I can only walk in if one hand's in yours. God, I'm willing to give forgiveness because I can't have a future tied to the chain of unforgiveness that's linked to my past. Does this make sense to you? Will you pray with me, Father, right now as we bring this service to close? Father, my prayer is simple. God, you gave us so much forgiveness. God, you loved us so much that you died for us. God, you paid a price for forgiveness. And Father, just like in the Old Testament, something had to die of value, God, you were the ultimate sacrifice. You were the Son of the living God, and you died for us so that we could be forgiven. But Father, then you called us to walk in your footsteps. You called us to walk the same way that you walk. So today, Father, as we start this journey of forgiveness, God, using the F word, forgiveness. Father, let us learn to forgive like you forgive. God, this week I ask that you tenderize our hearts. That as we listen to this message, as we read over the notes that we took, God, that we will open ourselves up to real forgiveness. God, not for them, but for us and for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.